It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA. First, I want to say it, Merry, Merry Christmas. I hope you all had wonderful holidays. And this is another special episode. I just first want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for our listeners, our supporters, the donations. Through God's favor, we were able to help two families this year. And with everything going on around the world, the economy, I just want to say that we are extremely grateful for all of you. Secondly, I was supposed to have two co-hosts today. I don't know, something happened. I don't know what's going on. Something to think about with Rodney. He was adamant about coming on and giving his views on it. So we just pray all's well. But I also have my friend, my pal, the Reverend Jimmy Jones with us. Reverend Jones, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing truly wonderful. It's just good to be here today.
Yes, sir. We're glad to have you. How was your Christmas?
Oh, it's fantastic. All is well.
Amen. 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 Hey, now I'm going to ask you this. Did you eat a lot?
As always, I ate. Yeah. Now I got to go to the gym.
Yeah, I said the same thing, man. And so I asked you that because I was sitting at the table on Christmas and I was watching like all the men and including myself because I broke my diet for Christmas. I just didn't know I was going to break it that badly. But all the men, we were piling food, just putting loads of foods on our plates. Right. And then I was watching the women, and they were, like, eating very lightly. They were, like, salad here or just a side there. And, you know, and I'm like, that's what it is. That's why we leave this world before they do, man. They're one up on us, man. I was like, but then I started thinking about, like, when I do eat light, all my friends who kind of jokingly tell me, you're a grown man, you need to eat more. But yeah, I just had to sit back and process that.
Right, right. Yeah. It's so different. Ain't no doubt about that.
Amen. Yeah, yeah. And so last week we talked about our friendships in general, what it means, what it costs, and how it matters. And I had all women on the show. They called us out. They said, we don't talk enough. We don't know enough about each other. And I wanted to bring some men on. I have you. Again, I don't know something happened to Rodney, but I have you on. And I just wanted to ask a few questions, and I'm going to chime in, too, and just kind of shed some light. But first, because this is something that Rodney did say when he listened to the episode, because the goal was to be very lighthearted, but Tatiana and I, we started to show off and we started talking about some bad experiences as it relates to friendships. And so I just want to ask you, do you have any, without naming names, do you have any bad experiences that you care to share or that you can think about?
Well, I think I think about maybe one bad experience that I can think of with a friend. And of course, you know that it would deal with a female.
Yes, yes.
And it would be to the point where, you know, he was my friend and then she was my woman. And then it's like as soon as we broke up, then he felt, okay, well, y'all broke up. I can go talk to her now.
Wow.
And to me, that was a line broken. You know, though we had broken up, it's still you my friend and she's my woman, that you gonna go date her? It just didn't sit right. Cause I would never do that to him. Right. Women in the world.
Yes. You know?
So yeah, that was about the extent of my worst experience.
Mm-hmm. And I shared the same, a similar story last week, as did Tatiana. And I was talking about the friend of mine. I met this young lady, which I can't really say she was my girlfriend. We went out on one date, but I met her at a party at NC State. And then I took her to a function shortly after, and he was there. And behind my back, he was wooing her. And one thing led to another with them. But I was thinking about this when I was after the show. I was listening to that episode, and I was like, this guy actually showed me who he was way back in middle school. Like, flags were waving. And because I remember it was this young lady, we were in middle school, and there was a dance coming up, and I told him, I'm in the hallway, and I said, I'm going to ask her to the dance. As soon as I said it, he darted over to her and asked her. And she said yes. They ended up being in a relationship. And looking back, I'm like, who knows if she had said yes to me, but that person, who he was showing me way back then, and I just blindly just didn't have a clue. And then I think I shared too, when we were in high school, I made a comment about the girl I was dating at the time, and he went back and told her. And so the signs were there. There were no surprises, but that betrayal, because to your point, to me, that's an unwritten rule. You just don't do it. There are other women out there. Why do you want to date someone that your friend has been with? You know, that I just don't get it.
Yeah. That, me too. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
It's an unwritten rule.
Yeah, absolutely. But so I'll just start with the question I want to ask you. So when you hear the word friendship, what does it actually mean to you as a man?
What I value friendship as is trust, number one, and then loyalty. Yeah. And then being able to share experiences with that person. And growth with that person. So those are the things that I look at as friendship that I love.
I totally agree with you. I think like for men, and I'm putting a male angle on it just because of last week in response to the answers, the women who were on last week, but I think it's like kind of understood. We don't necessarily have to say, hey, we're friends. It's like you just said, when you see that person there for you, when you see, you know, them being loyal to you, when you share information with them and no one else, and it never comes back, and you're like, okay, this is someone I can trust. This is someone who's a true friend. And so my closest friends, they really do know you, right? So better than a lot of people know you. So
one of the things I get is that, you know, I may not talk to them for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't talk to them for a couple of weeks, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because when I do talk to them, it's like, well, we're talking about everything that we missed.
Yeah. And
we won't miss a beat, you know. Because sometimes you get busy and they get busy and you're not going to be able to talk to them. But that doesn't inhibit the friendship.
I totally agree. And see, I think they said that last week. So we're all on the same page, men and women. We share that sentiment. And let me ask you this. Do you have a childhood friend who's still your friend to this day?
I do. We actually met in elementary school.
Oh, wow.
we are still friends this day. We still bowl together and do go out on vacations together, him and I, his wife and my wife, and we still do things together.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. So OZ, you know, we actually still do the music, the Jozzaz thing together, but we were friends since we were in middle school in the sixth grade. And there's never been a break in the friendship through all the years. We have always communicated consistently, been there for each other consistently, still goes to his home. He still comes over to mine. So that he's been a friend through and through from day one consistently. And then there are other friends too from childhood. We don't communicate the same way as OZ and I, but we still communicate. But it was funny. I remember, and I've shared this on the show a long time ago about me putting on the cape and the mask in the neighborhood, trying to be a superhero, me and my friend Billy. And so Billy and I remember his mother and my mother were talking when we were kids, and she and his mother said, y'all two will probably be friends until y'all are adults. And she said, you don't won't find that in women.
Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25 pass.
So, yeah, he was telling me, his mom was telling us just that, you know, it was very common for men to be friends from childhood into adulthood. And I don't know if that's something I probably should have asked I can't remember. Did I ask the women that? But I know that the two sets of friends who I had on, they were friends at adulthood. Now my sister, I think it was earlier. She may have been a teenager, like 18 or 19. But what do you think? I mean, from your experience, do you find many women who were friends when they were kids versus now?
To be honest with you, I don't. I don't think even my wife, you know, I know the majority of her friends, but I don't remember actually meeting any of her childhood friends. So in my response, and according to what I think about her, I don't think so. That a lot of women do have the childhood friends till adulthood.
I agree. I'm sitting here thinking, and I know my wife's childhood friend. Yes, they don't. Yeah, I don't know of anyone. I'm sitting here thinking of maybe Tatiana is probably the only one. I think she has some friends from childhood, but yeah, you're right. So it is that I think that is one difference we could probably agree on, that men usually from childhood up until adulthood.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the language that we use, because one of them, Jazz, she made a comment about how her husband, she was asking him, what's his friend's wife's name, the children's name, how old are they, and so on. Do you find that, do you think men, do we get that deep into it, or do we know all those, do we have those answers? What are your thoughts?
I think somewhat, but I don't think that I go that deep. Of course I know the kid's name. I know, of course, what grades they're in and things of that nature. And I do know some of the birthdays, but
I was just great ass.
A lot of times I don't remember those birthdays. You know what really perks is when it's on Facebook or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you have your reminders. But other than that, no, beyond their names and going to meetings and vacations and stuff like that, not really. I don't go beyond that.
Yeah. I really do need to work on the birthday thing. I was just sitting here like OZ's birthday was this month. And again, I told you, we've been friends since we were in the sixth grade. And he called and mentioned, yeah, yesterday was my birthday. I was like, wow. And then don't get me started on Rodney, because he will whine and call and, hey, man, my birthday was yesterday. I ain't hear from you, you know. So,
yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know, man. And I got to do better on that piece. But I think women got us on that. They will know birthday.
ain't no doubt about that. They keep up with their more so than we do. That's 100% their category right there.
Yeah.
Birthdays and schools and what grades they're in and all that stuff. They keep up with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. I know, like, Jazz, she made a comment, and it really touched me when she said it. And I should have expounded on it a little more. She talked about, I'll go back and listen. And I think she said that she lost a friendship because she forgot a birthday and she wasn't going to let that happen again. And that's why she's really on top of the birthday thing.
Wow.
Yeah. And I really wish I had asked a little more about that. Because that's pretty deep. That's pretty deep.
And see, my thing would be, is that a true friend because I miss your birthday?
Yeah, I mean, preaching to the choir. I agree. Yeah.
Man, that's one of the differences. As a man, will I lose your friendship because I didn't remember your birthday? But I'm there for whatever you need?
Yeah, that's deep. No. I like where you're going on it, but I want to make certain. I'm going to go back and listen, but I'm almost certain she said that. I don't want to misquote, but to your point, my friends would have cut me off by now because I forget, but there's so many other things I think that are way more important than remembering the birthday when I say, this is my friend. And when they don't, like, I have friends, they don't remember my birthday and I don't even give it a second thought. It's like, that's not important to me, to be honest. Now, birthdays are important, but not you remembering them, like, you know. But like we talked about in the very beginning, the loyalty piece, the dependability and the trustworthiness, that those things outweigh remembering my birthday. That's a really good, really good point.
Yeah.
Anything, any other differences you can think of? Or?
Well, I guess one of the things that when we say friendship, me and my wife were talking, it was last week.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you know, my friendship with my friend is different from yours because you as ladies, y'all go to the bathroom together.
Oh, yeah.
I love my brother, but I ain't. You know, that's a difference that, you know, we still love each other, but those are things that I'm not going to do, you know?
Yes.
That you can do.
I 100% agree with you. And I know when Rodney and I were talking about it, you just made me remember this. He was talking about how, female friends will lay in bed together and eat popcorn watching a movie.
Yeah.
That's something else you won't see guys doing.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I even think adult women will have these slumber party things still. They may not call it a slumber party or sleepover. Well, but they will have a sleepover where, you know, guys just don't do that.
Right. Yep.
Yep. That's a good one, man.
This is true.
Anything else you can think of that's different?
I think that the emotional part is totally different. They have that more so emotional connection and can go and cry with each other and all this kind of stuff where a lot of times me as men, we like, okay, well, you know, hey, give each other that and say, I'm with you, brother, you know, whatever you need, I got you, you know, and leave it at that. So I think that was one of the other big difference, you know, the emotional parts of what they do as opposed to what we do.
Yeah. And I've heard, they said that too last week, and I kind of agree. And then some parts of me, this is what I remember saying to them. Looks like Rodney is on now.
Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon, folks.
What's going on? Hanging in there, man.
I hope everybody had a great holiday.
Yeah, we already did the Christmas bill, man. You're late on that, man.
And look,
Proverbs 21:5 tells us, if you plan and work hard, you will have plenty. Yet for many, money feels stressful and overwhelming. If you're tired of worrying about bills and debt, there's a better way. Kira Speed, a financial coach, helps individuals and families walk in wisdom and peace with their money. And she can help you build a plan that aligns with your spiritual values and also helps you feel empowered with your money so that you can save, pay down debt, and build wealth for you and your family. Interested in learning more? Visit moneyempowered.com to schedule your free 60-minute consultation.
Before we get to talking.
Yeah, you did. But I'm just, hey, Rod, seriously, though, where should I start? Well, so Reverend Jones made a comment about, we were talking about the differences between men and women, friendships, and we're talking about the emotional piece. And so he was talking about how on the surface, I think we really don't get as deep emotionally. And I was agreeing, but I don't want to say disagreeing. I think the point I made last week was that in a group setting, like when it's the fellas, like say 3-4 of us, we may not get emotional, but when it's like one-on-one, I think sometimes, like, you know, like I heard you cry many a times, Rod. And so like, I'm just joking. But if it's just two of us, though, I think we are more open to be a little more emotional.
I see your point, but I think it also depends on that level of trust and how comfortable someone is with that other person. Yeah. Because that is a thing that you don't see men cry. It's supposed to be a stigmatism for men not to cry because we're always supposed to be the strong one. And the one that holds it together for everybody. And they say strong men don't cry. So it depends on that level of trust as far as being emotional, especially with another man. We joke, told Veronica one time before too, that it's easy. Two girls can hop up in the bed with a bucket of popcorn and watch a movie and share with each other their feelings, and girl, he did this and he did this, and you ain't gonna ever see that with two men.
No,
I don't care where you go.
Yeah.
Unless they on the same team. But that just don't happen in a level of friendship. that you would see in men. Now, confiding in each other, again, I think that goes back to the level of trust. In that group setting, you can joke around and talk and play with each other, but deep emotional feelings, you're not going to find that in that group setting when it comes to men, unless it's somebody that you trust. And it's pretty much going to be like one or two people or one-on-one.
Yeah, it's always going to be one or two. Because here's the thing, there's nothing off limits. And when you confide, and then if that trust isn't really there and it's a group, they're going to clown you. They don't care what it is. You know, it could be your wife, or your girlfriend. They don't care. They're going to give it to you.
Yeah.
It's not going to be contained to that group either, because somebody in that group is going to go tell somebody, and they're going to tell, guess what they told me? Guess what so-and-so said? So it's not confined to that group when you think it is. That's why I say it goes back to a level of trust. Yeah. I know if I told you something in confidence, most likely it ain't going to get out. But, I know. If I tell you something confident, I know it's not going anywhere. And I don't have to worry about that. And I don't have any concern with that. Some other people, I wouldn't trust as far. And then, too, that goes with trust and that level of friendship, who you choose to confide in.
Yeah. What do you think, Jim?
But not only that, just think about, when we greet or when we leave each other, you know, women are giving the big hugs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And most of the time, you know, it just started happening as of lately. Most of the time we're going to grab hands and we may pull each other with our hands, but we don't give them them bro hugs like, women do, which is totally different thing for us. Like I said, now it's happening more guys that are hugging, where before, no, that didn't happen.
Only if somebody die. If somebody die in the family, you can hug. That was the main rule.
Right. You shake hands and give them the dap, and that's it. But now, and that's the difference in growth now.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we used to say, we used to couldn't tell a man, you know, I love you.
Yeah. Right?
I'll put myself back in the day, I can say that. Mm-hmm. But now it's totally different.
Yeah, you're right.
Of the way things are today, you know. But back in the day, no, you ain't gonna tell another guy, no matter how close y'all were, man, I love you.
Yeah. How emotionally
well, even the bro hug then evolved too, because it used to be you had that forearm in between you like that too before you really got a real embrace.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how comfortable are you being emotional with a male friend?
Well, for me, but since I've gotten older and I've grown, I have no problem, you know, telling a man I love him.
Yeah.
And because of what I believe in Christ, I believe that he is truly my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And just like my physical brother, I treat him just like that. I have no problem, you know, with telling him I love him now.
Yeah.
Now, in the past, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah,
and for me, it goes back to depending on who that person is. And, you know, without background, it makes it a little difficult too. I think that a lot of that has to do with what you did in your previous time. Mm-hmm. Like I said, depending on who that person is, it makes it easier and it makes it genuine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I know, like, and I hope you don't mind me talking about this, Rod, a little. I probably should have asked first, but I kind of just thought about it too. When, you know, we both lost our mothers several years apart. And to your point about it depends on who the person is and how they receive things. Because I remember when you and I talked on the phone and you said, I don't know if you remember or not, but you said, hey, tell everyone, but I don't want anyone calling me. I don't want to talk to anyone right now. Right. And then I had another friend when it happened, and he was I'm not going to say complaining, but he made comments about certain people who didn't call him. And so it also depends on who that person is, because some of us, you know, just don't want to, you know, open up, don't want to talk about. And that's our way. And I'm the same way. I'm like closer to the way you are on that. When I'm going through it, like really going through it, I internalize that. Some people say it's not healthy or the healthiest way, but it's my way of dealing with it. At the same time, I'm open enough to be emotional. That never has been a problem with me. I'm confident in who I am. Never been shooken by that. But when it comes to grief and things like that, I do isolate myself. That's my healing process. So,
well, again, it's like I said, starting off with that trust factor. When I told you, you were the person that I trusted, and my way of dealing with it, I didn't want all these people keep calling me saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And especially, I didn't want anybody calling me saying, oh, I know how you feel. Because until you lost that person, you can't tell me, oh, I know how you feel, because you haven't gone through it. You can imagine how I felt, but you can't say, oh, I know how you feel, because you haven't experienced it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I already knew that. I didn't want to answer that phone and keep explaining things over and over again to 2, 3, 10, 20 different people. I will talk to you in my own time when I'm ready to do that.
Yeah.
And that was my privilege.
Yeah. Totally agree. Totally.
It wasn't shunning anybody else or trying to think that they are, you know, a lesser. You know, I appreciate the concern.
Yeah.
I appreciate the people that checked on me, but it just wasn't time for me to deal with that.
Yeah, no one took it that way either. I mean, no one. So now, Jimmy mentioned something earlier, too, about how we were brought up, because I do think it's generational now. I think, like, younger men are being taught a little differently, like it's okay to be to open up. I think it was Jimmy who said, you know, men don't cry or something to that effect. Where did that start? Do y'all remember? Like, I don't remember anyone ever telling me that, but it was understood.
Well, with me, because of my dad, that's where I got it from.
Okay.
I never seen him cry. Mm-hmm. And up until I got older, I never even heard him say, you know, I love you.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's what I was brought up with, knowing that, you know, hey, my dad never cried. I never even see him really that emotional. So then, therefore, I took for granted, well, I guess that's the way I need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I probably heard it in a movie somewhere. to be honest with you, real men don't cry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rye, you mentioned earlier about the profession piece of it, because I know when we were going up through the ranks, I do remember them telling us, like, you're going to see things, don't cry. You get in your car, cry alone, especially when it comes to, like, you know, children, the death of a child. Yeah. That's heavy. Yeah. And they say, go in the car, wipe the tears, then come back out and do your job. And now there's all type of, well, in the progressive police agencies, there's a lot of emotional support on paths they can take. But back then,
we had that too.
Yeah, but you were looked at a certain way when you accepted that. And we weren't, although we had it, it wasn't embraced and it wasn't encouraged, really.
Hmm.
You don't agree.
I didn't disagree on that. I think it depends on who your supervisor was, because in one of my particular cases, they kept asking if I needed to go talk to anybody. And I said, no, I knew that was part of the job. So it didn't bother me being shot at, because that's what police, I mean, that's what they do. So hopefully it don't happen that often. I didn't get hit, so that made a difference. But no, I didn't need to go talk to anybody, because I knew going into it, what it could or couldn't be.
Let me see. Maybe it was that, but that unique case for you, though, being shot at. You had just got out the academy, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so, pretty much.
Yeah, so maybe the uniqueness of your case versus, I'm talking about the ones that we see day to day, like the death, yeah. death investigations. They, yeah. I don't think they encourage that, but if yeah. you were involved in a shooting, yeah, I agree.
The mm-hmm. death, the death investigations, the kids that you see, the predicament and the situation yeah. they're in, yeah, they that's pretty much deal with it and move on, you know, type stuff that you would get from them. Those weren't the ones that you say, hey, I want to talk about this with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
They did not prepare you or teach you to deal with that.
No, mm-hmm. not at all. So now we're talking about conflict between men. How do y'all think men handle conflict? Like directly, indirectly, do we address it differently than women?
Well, with me, I like to go ahead on and get it out directly. I don't want to talk on the phone. If we got something going on, let's go man to man. Let's talk about it. See if we can hash it out. And even if we don't hash it out, if we are friends, we can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
But keep it moving. Because we are two different people, there are going to be things that we're not going to agree on. Now, depending on the level of what it is, whether it affects our relationship or not, then that's another story. Yeah. But me, I want to just go ahead on. I don't want to talk about it on the phone. Don't send me no email. Don't send me on the phone. Let's talk about this. If it's something serious, yeah. not talk about it man to man. So that's how I like to do it.
I agree.
Yeah. Now, if you're talking about in a friendship realm, yeah, you're right. And then, too, it depends on your level of friendship. You and I can talk to each other, and I can say stuff to you that wouldn't hurt your feelings that would probably hurt somebody else's feelings.
Right.
And so it depends on who you're dealing with. And then you also run into people reacting like the alpha male, you yeah. know, whose chest stick out the farther, who can beat their chest, you know, instead of sitting down trying to come to some kind of conclusion that's going to solve the problem. It's like, you know, who we think he's talking to? Who you think you are type thing? And you really don't want to turn to that. But sometimes when you get alpha men together with strong wills, mm-hmm. friends or no friends, that's what you're going to run into. And a lot of times it can take a turn for the worse before it gets better. So it depends on who you're talking to also, and the tone and the language that you use when you're talking to each other like that. You got to know who you're talking to. Like I said, you and I can talk about anything on the earth, yeah. and you know who I am, the things I say. You know I'm not saying them to intentionally offend you. Some people may, I can't talk to everybody the same way I talk to you.
I don't know. I was offended when you called me a know-it-all, man.
Well, that's what your wife said. I'm just going by what she said. And she's pretty intelligent, so I'm going by what your wife said.
Oh, God. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever broke ties with a friend because they, not because of it, without telling them, like just broke ties without, hey, we're no longer friends and here's why.
I don't think I've ever done that. And if yeah. my way, I think we talked about this before. I said, you know, I'm not going to be the one to keep picking up the phone, calling. And every time we talk, it's because I picked up the phone and called you.
Yeah.
If you're not calling me on your own, that's not something to me is saying, maybe this really isn't my friend. You know, maybe are you that busy that you can't pick up the phone? So I said, I'm not going to be the one that's always calling. So, and I have said, you know, if it's not somebody I talk to on a regular basis, if they don't call me, then I'm not calling. I'm not going to be reaching out. I'm not scratching them off and writing them off. Mm-hmm. If they do call at some point in time, I'll talk to them and I have a cordial conversation. But if I'm always the one pursuing, and you don't pick up the phone and call me, that tells me that you don't have time for me.
Yeah. That's deep.
I agree with you one correctly because, you know, it just happens. I mean, like you said, if I'm the one that's always picking up the phone, then what's wrong with your hand? You know,
exactly. Yeah.
You can do the same thing if this is supposed to be a friendship. So yeah. That means that I may think more than this friendship than you do.
Exactly, you know? Yeah.
Because you never called.
Yeah, so exactly.
Just, I guess it would be just walking out on it because I'm not going to keep doing the same things that I do to try to maintain it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that makes sense. Now, as far as the closure piece, I can tell you, I think Rod agree. I always got to tell, like, hey, this is what's going on. This is why we, you know, that's the way my brain is wired. I just need that closure I need to be able to tell you this is why. And that's not always the best course of action sometimes. But I've had people say, hey, they know when you stop calling them why, or, you know, you're wasting your breath.
Before we get to talking.
What if your brand could reach hearts and minds across the globe, from small towns to big cities, from Sunday listeners to weekday grinders? On the Unknown Preacher LA podcast, people tune in from every corner of the earth, drawn by stories that inspire, challenge, and connect us. Now, your business and message can be a part of that connection, whether you're launching a new product, promoting an event, or expanding your reach. Advertising on the Unknown Preacher LA puts your voice where it matters most, right in the ears of a worldwide audience. So don't just reach people, reach purpose. If you're interested, contact us today at theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. The Unknown Preacher LA, where truth meets the mic.
What's going on? This is why we, you know, that's the way my brain is wired. I just need that closure I need to be able to tell you this is why. And that's not always the best course of action sometimes, but I've had people say, hey, they know when you stop calling them why, or, you know, you're wasting your breath because it's not going to change anything. But I don't want to necessarily change, but I want you to know, you know, what your actions or black.
But I'm glad you said that, because I was going to tell you that, you know, as well as I do, that doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they listen to your podcast or not, but, you know, case example, when I had to tell one, you hadn't treated me like a friend in a long time. Why would you expect me to be there?
Wow.
So, you know, it was somewhere that everybody thought I was going to be, because supposedly we were friends. But if you hadn't treated me like a friend for some time, why would I be there?
Boy, I knew when I asked Rod to come on.
Well, you wanted the truth.
I do want the truth. So
that's a deep one. That's a deep one. When something happened to one of your friends that you hadn't talked to.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it seemed like they feel that even though I hadn't talked to you, you still should have been there.
Yeah,
that's
a deep one.
That's hard,
because I think feelings were hurt.
And you know, not just the fact that we hadn't talked, we were still. It was no reason for not talking, because, mm-hmm. like I said before, I initiated on my part. But it got to one of those points, I'm not going to keep initiating. And then, you know, we were in the same workplace. But no, I think I had left then. But the friendship was supposed to still be tighter than what it was. And they said, oh, yeah, don't forget him. Don't forget Hunter. Now, if you're not going to treat me like a friend and you have something for friends and family, if I don't feel like a friend, I ain't coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. And then once I brought it to their attention, I think it probably improved for maybe 2 weeks, but it went back to the same old stuff. So I'm not done with that person. I haven't written them off, but I just know what my relationship is with that person and how I should treat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got different levels of friendship.
Yeah, true.
Yep. Anything to add to that, Jimmy?
Hey, that's true. You got different levels of friendship. Some are closer than others. And then, you know, there you're going to, like you said in the beginning of the podcast, is that you got some that you know you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
Some that, as my mama used to say, you feed with a long handle spoon.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I like to even separate them further and say that you got friends and then you got acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you really call them your friend just because you know them? Because you used to work together? Can you really call them your friend because you live next door to each other or across the street, same neighborhood? You play pickup with them. Can you really call them your friend?
Just
because you know them.
I agree. We use that loosely all the time, that word friendship. I totally agree. What does real brotherhood actually look like to y'all?
Well, with me, the brotherhood, you don't have to be blood brothers to have a brotherhood. You see a lot of guys that do that in the fraternities and they call themselves brothers. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs with that I don't particularly agree with. Some of the things they have to go through, and then at the end, they're going to say, we brothers. I don't agree with a lot of that stuff. But the brotherhood, I think, with me, and I can refer back to the academy, that I picked up some brothers in the academy. Because when you have someone that you know that's got your back through thick and thin, I consider them to be a brother, and they don't have to be a blood brother. I can see that in the military, where your life depends on each other. And when the military guys, most of them that I have encountered, it don't matter if you black, white, Hispanic, or whatever. If you're in the military together and you're fighting in the trenches, you their brother. And that's where a lot of them guys do.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I ain't saying all. I never say all. But a lot of them guys do that. So the brotherhood is something special. You see that with teams.
Yeah.
When you bring together people from different relationships, ethnicities, cultural backgrounds, and you put a team together, that forms a brotherhood when they would just go to war for each other. And you don't see a lot of that. A lot of that is what I got, or what can you do for me? What I and me. Mm-hmm. You don't see a lot of brotherhood stuff now.
And that's the thing, and I agree with you 100%, because that's what I think of a brotherhood, is that I got your back 24/7 and you got my back 24/7.
Yeah.
And trust and believe that if I need you, you're going to be there. And if you need me, because it worked the same way. If you need me, I'm going to be there. It ain't one way. So that, to me, is a brotherhood. I mean, even if I don't talk to you next for a week, you know, we are still brothers. I can still call you and you're going to be there, you know.
Right.
Well, I look at brotherhood. We got each other back.
Yeah.
Right.
I can think of like the highlights of my life, and then the darkest moments of my life. I definitely say Rodney has always been there. No ifs, ands, or buts. No, I mean like my rookie year when I got in that bad car accident. You were right there. The media is trying to film it. You putting the flashlight to protect me so they wouldn't have my face or anything on the news after that accident. Right there. Totally burnt the patrol car, y'all. Totally burned the patrol car, which I don't take fault on in that. It was a bad predicament. But anyway, Rob was right there.
Even on my day off.
On your day off. But that now before I give you all the kudos, now this guy had me yell at my squad because he put a fire extinguisher in my locker.
Wow. No.
Yeah.
Get it right.
What did you do?
It was a junior fire outfit, a junior firefighting outfit.
I actually thought they were doing it, like to get, because we got bad, boy, we have bad sense of humor. And I'm going off on the squad. He didn't tell me until years later it was him.
Wow.
This time I just found out. But anyway, I digress. But no, I can definitely you can look at people and you know in your life when time, when I'm going through something and I really need someone, he's right there. So you, and I don't care who you are, if you don't appreciate that, I don't know what to tell you, because so there are so many people who don't have that. So
I was raised by the right people.
Amen to that, brother. Hey, if friendship is the strongest predictors of long-term health, meaning and resilience, what else I'm looking for? Do y'all agree that friendship is essential? Because there are men, and I know a lot of men who really don't have, I don't know if I could say that about women, men who don't have friends. So if it's the longevity, when you talk about longevity and health, what do you say to the males who don't have any friends? Do you think that that's sustainable? Do you say it's not worth it? What advice would you give them?
Well, for me, I would tell them you're really missing out on a good part of your life, that when you know that you got somebody you can depend on, that, you know, going to be there for you 24/7, you're missing out. I mean, that's a part of life, is to have somebody that you can depend on. So to me, I would say you're missing out on a good part of something good.
Yeah. I agree. Right.
Yeah, you know, it goes back to what type of friend that you have. Also, you don't want to have that toxic friend, that negative type person that continues, you know, they never upbeat, is always something, you know, that type of friend that, because they can actually bring you down also. Mm-hmm. It's a type of friend that don't nobody want to be around because they always complain about something. They're not happy in their life. I do believe that people need friends, or they need someone that they can have a friendly relationship with also. Mm-hmm. My youngest brother, I tell you, not just a brother, and he's probably the best friend, close friend. I hope you don't take offense to that one either. You close to second.
We're not in middle school, right?
My youngest brother, man, we talk every day. Sometimes we talk twice a day. Both of us are night owls. We up late at night talking. He talks about his relationships. I try to give him advice on his. We'll talk a little bit about mine. Movies, games, sports. It's just nothing off limits for us. And you would not think that someone with a younger brother would have that type of relationship. We are two different people. You talk about thick as thieves, from a brother, a relative, a sibling, to have that type of friendship with. So, you know, I think everybody does need friends. And then you got people out there that don't think that they need anybody. And those are usually the ones that's bound up in turmoil.
Yeah.
They have no outlet.
No.
And some stuff you just can't keep in, because if you keep it in too long, sooner or later you're going to explode.
Yeah.
A pressure cooker.
I totally agree. I think, and we talked about this a little last week, that vulnerability, we really... It's, you feel uncomfortable, and to be vulnerable, it goes back to trust too, because you're going to be vulnerable around people you trust. And if you really don't trust anyone, you don't really want to open up and see that your feelings are gone to the waste after the fact. So,
yeah, that's the hardest part. And, you know, I opened up with that trust piece, because I believe that's number one. And it doesn't matter who you are. It could be your brother, your best friend, you think, even pastor or deacon or anybody. That trust piece goes a long way in relationships.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the key building blocks to a foundation is trust. Yep. Because if you building a relationship on rocky ground, and trust is a major block there, regardless of what you start with, you're going to have trust. And don't get me wrong, Pastor, because I know it's God first, but even then you got to trust in the church, the religion, the pastor. You got to trust and have that faith before you have a good foundation. And I've always thought that the foundation is built on trust. And if you build that on trust, you can go anywhere from there. If I didn't trust you, AZ, we wouldn't have the relationship that we have. If I didn't trust my wife, we wouldn't be married right now, and have the relationship that we have. Yeah. Same thing. I'm just a strong believer that trust is it. And if you don't have that in your friendship, in your life or whatever, you just don't have a good foundation.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, and like you said, like the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding.
Yeah.
So that's the word of God. And that teaches us also to trust in people.
That's right.
That's to be an example of what you need to do and how you need to do it. Trust.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And a lot of that also goes back to the line of work that we were involved in when it's hard to trust people when you're being constantly lied to every day. But that was from that criminal element. But it still has an impact when people tell you things and things just don't sound right or they don't look right or it just ain't what you're saying. But I understand what you're referring to in life, but you have to find a way to distinguish and separate the two. But trust in man is a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
I think like what Jimmy is talking, like that discernment, right? So now you have the wisdom to gravitate to the right people. Because I can tell you, as a younger version, as a child, teenager, a young adult, I didn't necessarily have that then. It was like whoever's there and what felt fun and right. And then as I did get older, wiser, closer to God, the discernment, I can honestly say that the people in my life, like I can, to your point, you can't trust man wholeheartedly. So you have to figure out what's susceptible and what flaws, because we're all flawed to some degree. I can accept flaws with certain flaws and then certain ones I can't. The betrayal piece of it, like we talked about before, I can't trust you. So, yeah, that's a flaw that will keep you out of my circle.
And most of the time, the people that you can't trust, they're going to show you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're going to show you at some point in time. And like you said, you know, you can discern which ones that you can trust and which ones you can't.
Yeah.
So that's what you go by. Yeah. So you still have to build trust in the Lord first and then with man, because then you'll find out who you can trust.
Yeah.
And
I agree. Rod, we were, before you got on, we were kind of talking about that, like the betrayal. And I was saying that the person I was saying who betrayed me, there were signs, as Reverend Jones was just saying, the signs were there when we were kids. And I don't know if I just was so naive or just chose to ignore them. And then it just manifests. And as an adult, when he betrayed me, I don't know if I was shocked or surprised by it, but maybe I was back then. Now that I think about it, I was a little surprised because I thought we were better than that, in the sense it was, if he really knew me like I thought, he could have just had that conversation with me and I would have been totally okay. Like, okay, guy, go for it, you know, but it was just a really a dagger in the back moment. Which reminds me, so we both talked about our bad friendships do you have a bad friendship story you want to share?
Well, let's see. Honestly, I really don't. Not that I can think of offhand, and I'm not saying that it may not have been any. Because one, my circle is very limited. It's always been pretty limited. So I wouldn't say a bad friendship. I've had friendships where people moved away, lose contact, and you just really don't consider them that type of friend anymore. Not the type that, you know, you wouldn't have anything to do with, but you just lost contact with each other. Yeah. I don't have anyone that I can recall that a friendship just broke up badly over something I did or something that they did. I mean, for me, that on the other end, they might say that was something I did that I didn't know about. But not offhand that I could think of anything right now.
Okay, cool. Well, good. I got the last question, gentlemen. Young man comes to you and says, what do I need to do to maintain a friendship? What advice would you give him?
I was going to text you, and who are you throwing it out to? Which one?
Hey, both of y'all. Hey, both of y'all. Y'all can go, whoever wants to go first or who wants to go say.
You can go ahead, Reverend Jones.
Well, how to maintain a friendship.
Yes.
So one of the keys, as we've already talked about, was trust. But then the other key is get to know the person and build that relationship with them. And through that relationship, you will be able to discern what they like, what you like, and the things that y'all can do together. And if the things that you like and what they like, that makes it easy. Because like one of my lifelong friends, both of us like to go bowl. So therefore, we're in a league together. So you choose things that you both like to do, which makes it easy because then you like spending time with each other.
Yeah.
Hey, after we go bowl, we'll go get something to eat, you know? So those are things that build our relationship as we develop, as we go on. And that's what I would say. Get the relationship, find out the things that you like to do together, the like things you like to do together, and go from there.
That's a good one. And with mine, I would say be honest with each other. It's no need to tell lies and embellish and do all that stuff, because with me, if you're honest, honesty builds trust, and that leads to a stronger friendship. Because if I know that you're being honest with me, the second part of that is I can trust you. Yeah. So that solidifies a friendship for me. Somebody that's being honest, and then I know they're going to be trustworthy. And also their beliefs, too. You got to be on the same page with your beliefs as to be associated with that person. Because if you're on two different pages doing that, it's like Pastor was saying, find some common ground with things you like to do.
Yeah.
That works great a lot of times. But you can also have that variety in there. Like Pastor Ebo, I like to golf. Well, I've got some friends that don't even want to touch a golf club. But, you know, AZ. But, I still keep them around. But they're just not going to be my golfing buddies. You know, we watch sports, so we could do some other thing. But the key for me, like I said, and the two things that we really touched on as far as building a solid friendship is honesty, which leads to trust, which leads to a strong friendship for me. Because if you can be honest with me, then I can trust you.
You both said spot on to both of them. I was going to say the exact same thing as far as the trustworthiness, make certain the values are aligned. That's really, really deep. The last thing I would add to it was, or is, make certain that they're a Cowboys fan.
Oh no!
You know, you lucky I didn't have time. I didn't put on any of my paraphernalia today. But if I had time, I sure would have had on that black and yellow for those Pittsburgh Steelers.
You saw we pulled it off on Christmas like we're supposed to.
So. Let me see if I can walk to my Eagles den.
Oh, man.
If I can walk to my Eagles den.
Oh, man, that is really nice.
It is nice.
My Eagles den, and show you a little something.
That's what's up. That is
real nice, Pastor. If my wife would let me have a room in the house, I could have something like that too. But I can't get a room.
I got a little Cowboy stuff, but I don't know if it competes with yours though. But yeah,
I wanted to show you a little something.
Well, you know. All my stuff like that is in boxes. One of these days, I'm gonna get a room.
Well, we gotta celebrate those teams who rarely win, Steelers and Eagles. But you know,
you know, it's a shame when the Cowgirls are more famous for their cheerleaders than they are the football team.
And most people would rather watch them.
That's true. That is so true.
Hey, we're America's team. We are America's team, y'all. But I enjoyed this conversation, fellas, seriously, from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate y'all. I always give the floor to the guests. If y'all have any final words before we close out, I'm going to roll it and give it to you all. Any final words?
Well, you know, I'm just a man of few words. I think I pretty much said my part about it. I don't want to keep repeat myself and sound redundant, but as far as the male friendship, I think it is starting to get better than what it's been in the past. With Pastor was saying earlier about got to the point where we're hugging and saying I love you to each other. And for my end, it's that honesty and trust, and we can be friends to the end. But without those things, then we got an issue.
Well said. Yeah.
Well said. I can say ditto on what you said. Trust, like you said, is one of the keys. Loyalty to each other is one of the keys. And your value core, your system, what you believe in is one of the keys. And if you can get all those things and together, and I'm the same way, you know, we'll be friends to the end. But you know, with one of my things is, if you trust in the Lord along with me, it makes it a lot easier. Because now we got that core, what we both can believe in. We'll believe it in the same thing, you know. And therefore, we can easily be friends because we believe in the same thing.
Amen. You said it.
Amen. Man, I appreciate y'all both again. And I'll just close out and say, I hope again y'all had a Merry Christmas and strive. We keep pushing and pushing to be the friend who can show up when it's inconvenient.
Yes.
Say things when they are uncomfortable to say. And just be present when we need to be. So God bless y'all. Till next time.
God bless y'all, fellas.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher. unknown.